boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming. Just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
To Jesus Christ, amen, the Lord God Jehovah, who is the head of my life, amen, to the blessed Holy Spirit, I say thank you, Lord, amen, giving honor to, amen, my producer, Pastor, Pastor O, amen, and his lovely wife, Sheila, and all the saints and friends that are listening throughout the state, throughout the city, throughout the world, friends that I've known long and new friends that I've gained, and I just thank God for you. Amen. This is that blessed season. Amen. You know, somebody told me they start their Christmas. They don't wait. They start their Christmas season November 1st. They get on it. Because you know what? It makes everybody feel good. I don't know why people knock Christmas. Why you want to knock feeling good? Amen. Let us go before the throne of grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, we do praise you, we do bless your holy, righteous, blessed name. We thank you for this honor and this opportunity to come before you. Father, we come seeking, amen, guidance for in revelation and instruction and reproof even, amen, from your word to help us be that which you want us to be. Because you are preparing us for an eternal life with you, amen, and not just, amen, the time that we're in. Father God, we're asking that you strengthen us with might in our inner man, Lord. We're asking that you bless, amen, the eyes of our understanding. We're asking those that don't really understand you that you would bless them to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, Lord, that you would bless them to know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory and the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power that you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you. Bless us, Lord, with the revelation of love and how it operates, amen, under your guise. Father God, we're asking that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the courage and the strength to carry it out so that we can walk upright before you and be fruitful in every good work. Bless us to grow into knowledge of you. And Father God, we're reaching out right now. We're praying for all the, amen, all the law enforcement, amen, that are working throughout the country, Lord. Amen, for all the firemen, police, fire, EMS, EMTs, emergency medical personnel at the hospitals, Lord, that are just being overwhelmed with this COVID-19, amen, that you would strengthen them with might, that you would encourage them, amen, bless their hearts. We're asking that they touch the hearts of the bereaved, amen, that strengthen them and encourage them to knowing that we're coming to something, amen. It's not going to be long before there's the great reunion. Father, I ask that you just continue to bless us, each and every one of us. Bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have me to write, to say only what you would have me to say, that it be all of you and none of me, and I thank you for it right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm still on this as directed because of prayer, which is the primary issue. It's the primary function of the body of Christ. In no time has it ever been of a greater necessity than right now. Okay, so we went through 7 for those that may be new. Amen. I labeled this training day because I picked it up off of a teaching from a Chinese minister that was on the scene back between 1900 and 1940. And I was listening to one and re-listening to one of his teachings. And it's now they have they pulled that one off. It was on YouTube. It was called The Expected Christian Life. And I noticed in there that when he talked about Philippians 3:20, and let me read that. I like reading. I like being accurate about it. I want you to get this. I mean, see, because we tend to read the Bible and listen as though it's a book of cliches. I often joke about that on Facebook, but that's how people respond to the Word of God. You tell it in their behavior and in their conversation, you know, that they're not getting it. And I understand that because for a long time I didn't get it. You know, I mean, and then it dawned on me. And I guess a lot of it has to do, like they say, you are what you eat. And a lot of it has to do with where they're going to church. And a lot of people pick churches that are, I would say, easy for them. This life get easy once you get to that level of understanding what it is about, what the objective is, what the goal is, what God is up to, why God. And that hasn't been an easy question to answer. I watched a segment on YouTube the other day, and it was a rabbi, amen, which let me know that without Jesus, you don't have a complete picture. It's not possible. But they still struggle with this issue of a mighty God with no limits on his capabilities and a world that seemed like it's just falling to pieces. But there's a plan in this. There's a making of a creation that have never existed. Mankind, man and woman, are different than angels. We're totally different. Angels don't have babies. You know, I've only read, I can't remember where in the Bible. I'd have to look it up. Maybe I'll get it next time. There's only been one female angel mentioned in the Bible. And it was nothing good said about her. So I guess that's why it's only one. But, you know, angels are some tremendously powerful creatures when you read about them in the Bible. And then when you discover the reality that a human being, even though it doesn't seem like it right now, is more powerful than an angel. Let's read this. 1 John 3:2, it says, "Dear friends, now, not gonna be, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he," talking about Jesus, "when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." You know, and there's some very distinguishing things about Jesus now. Didn't see, even with the might that he had before he died, he wasn't allowed to display the might that he had, except with the issue of doing miracles and healings. But now there's a different level. Paul talked about him being brighter than the noonday sun. See, and we only know, this is why we're just getting the very basics of what this is all about. Even though it's been 6,000 years, we are just in the kindergarten. We are at the sixth grade. We're at the sixth year, you know, on a God scale kind of time. Okay? And then he says, and Paul talks to the Philippians in Philippians 3:20 and 21, he says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." So, you know, when you relate that to the creation of Adam in Genesis chapter 2, and that God put a living life force, an intelligence almost equal to his own inside a piece of flesh. The limitations came when God created a soul for Adam inside the body. That put limitations. Had he not done that, I know the only way people could challenge this, but had he not done that, Adam would have been equal to God, and God wouldn't. That wasn't his plan. he wanted a son, not that equal. Okay, so you know that put a limitation on it, which is why it wasn't but a short time later. Nobody knows. I've heard as recently, they say 9 hours later. Nobody knows how long it was before Adam and Eve got out of sorts with God. But the point is, I'm never going to be totally 100% perfect, okay? But we can improve on it. I am a lot better than I was when I started this 45 years ago. A lot better. I have a better understanding. But that took some effort on my part. One of the areas it's really amazing, and I understand why Satan perverted this issue of prayer. Look at the different types of issues that we have with prayer. We got people that think that the only prayer is a ritual that Jesus did, and that's when he said, "Our Father who art in heaven," and that's as far as they go with it. They don't know how to pray over their children. They don't know how to pray over there. They don't know how you can extract the word. And seeing this is the last two sessions, I tried to lay out a basis on how Paul extracted word from the book of Ephesians and Colossians to lay out a prayer. I mean, these are the things he said, "I cease not to pray." And so one of the key factors is, or one of the benefits of being Christian, is that we can utilize prayer based on God's word. We are authorized, and we're the only ones authorized to use prayer in that manner. And if you're not authorized, then Satan can block your effort. you know, excuse me while I'm doing something here. That's one of the key factors that is grossly overlooked in Christianity, and that is, Satan has actually actually some legal rights in this issue. That also is part of our development. You know, for me, it's always been the question. I've really had these questions all along, and I was getting answers that nobody knows. And that seems strange because I was getting that from some people I highly respected and deeply respected. And I think the fact that, and I've seen why they would give such answers, because there's a book out called God's Generals. And I recommend you reading that, particularly those of you that have a office level or really highly submissive in Christ. Because submissive people get used of God. And this has been the result, this has often resulted in sad endings when people get off, you know, they go and pray for somebody and God use them because they're clean enough to be used, and he do something stupendously miraculous, and right away they think they have started a miracle ministry. You know, there's a list. God has a list in Romans chapter 12, in Ephesians chapter 4, I think 4:11, of what ministries are. And, you know, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what ministries are. Now, he will do that, but now, and really, in these days, you sanctified folk need to be, need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, and I guess I'm following the direction of the Holy Spirit today, always, you know, because it ain't going to come out. I want to preach what he want to preach. He's got control of this. But you want to be on your own. Learn. There are some excellent teachings on being led of the Spirit, how to determine, because God is getting ready. We're down to the end of days. And God is going to be using average individuals to do miracles for you. You may be in Walmart, and you need to be, and you can sense in your spirit. Now, your spirit is in the center of your being, just in your belly area, not in your head. Your head may freak out, but if you got peace in your center, and there's a voice in your head, and you got peace in your center, and the voice is saying, pray for that person. He may even tell you specifically what is wrong with them. I've experienced that, and I tell you, it's something. It's something. And sometimes, one time I remember I felt something go out of me, and it was really. It's like it drew something. I could really feel the drawing, and the purpose for that. Is like I said, I knew I wasn't having a developing a miracle ministry, but for God to reveal to me that I have access to that level of power, that made me regard my behavior even more. That's the purpose of that, because anytime people, you look at society and any position in life, the more authority that a person is given is usually based on the fact that they are recognized as a person with higher level of discipline. You know, the Bible talks about that in Timothy when Paul talked about selecting somebody for the ministry as a deacon, as a bishop, or as a minister. The character that they display must be one of a person of discipline in their lives and their family. You don't just get that to any and willy-nilly. And this is one of the reasons why I believe the Lord is having me. And I've already listened to some other ministers that are saying pretty much the same thing. That's generally God. You know, you look in the Bible and you see Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Zechariah, and Daniel, and they pretty much had the same message, a little bit different because the general area might be different and their personality might be different, but the keynotes are pretty much the same. Same with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, keynotes the same. The same thing with Corinthians and Colossians, the keynotes are the same about behavior and drawing closer to God and regarding your actions. Because as you draw close to the end, like I said, God is going to be calling people, doing some supernatural things to people that don't even know him. He's done that. We all got saved. You know, you don't get saved to get saved. You get saved. You know, you're not saved and you get saved. You know, so be on God. Be ready for that. Now, and this is how I got, well, when you look at what First John said in Colossians, and you look at who Jesus is, and to know, when you see, as we read last time in Ephesians, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You see that many times in the New Testament. That same power that raised him from the dead. You think about what a medical miracle that is for you to go in a morgue and raise a person that's been dead 3 days. You know, that dwells in you. Now, so with God, you got to put all the pieces of the puzzle, like they say, do the math, okay? Why? Because, see, to me, wasn't adding up. I had the same question everybody else had. Why is life like this with an almighty God? Well, it's because God, the man God, okay? The man God. Now, I want to go to 1 Peter. Now, first, actually, I want to go to Exodus chapter 19. I want you to see the forefront, the forerunner of this, when God opens this up. And again, like I say, and I understand the Bible is designed to be a challenging book. It's a book designed for you to come to God. As a matter of fact, it's designed, even after what I say, you're supposed to go to God. Because, like, if you go to church regularly, God will say something, the pastor will say it, he'll speak to the pastor, and the pastor will say it, and while you're sitting there, the Holy Spirit will start ministering something, add something to that that directly pertains to your life. He will highlight it, so to speak. Open it up. He's done that many times with me. So you don't think your state, because you just started going to church, that God don't talk to you. One of the major objectives accomplished when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior was that it legally allowed God, listen to that, legally allowed God to speak directly to you. See, there's a lot of parts. This is why it is absolutely necessary to read the Bible. Because you get a lot of stuff from people that ain't true. And the Bible, it says some stuff that I don't want to say scary, but I will say it's deep. Because even right here, see, this is something that eludes people. But you, this is why, you know, brethren, whom I pray for, the Israelites and the Jews, they got half the picture. Actually, maybe two-thirds. Actually, half the picture. And without the other half, they don't quite understand. It's hard for them because you have to have Holy Spirit is God, unadulterated, completely in us, okay, operating. It's the best way to explain that is God can install the Holy Spirit like a computer chip, and every computer don't have all the same equipment. I had a computer once that had extreme limitations, you know, as compared to the one that I had built. That has a lot, have more capacity than I'm capable of using. Okay. Now here, this is God in Exodus chapter 19. God is talking to Moses. This is give you a quick rundown, particularly because some people may be listening. Okay, the children of Israel was in 430 years of captivity in Egypt. God then brought them out. Then brought them across. Now he's brought to bring them to the next level of their relationship. And here he is giving them instructions throughout these chapters in Exodus and Deuteronomy and Numbers. But what I want you to hear right here, you people will miss because they're not, like I said, they're not really trying to understand it. That's what religion is. They just want to do some stuff hoping to get to heaven, but they don't really want to do the will of God. This is for people that want to do the will of God. Okay? Now, I'm gonna just read verse 3 so you know who's talking. It said, then Moses, and I'm reading out of an NIV, it said, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from on the mountain. Now, at that time, everybody didn't have direct access, okay? This is what you ought to say to the house of Jacob and what you ought to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully, keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Now, what people tend to miss, and I've even recently had discussions with people about that, they think that he did not right here specify Moses' kinfolk, the Levites, okay, because he does that later on. If you can read up on that in Exodus chapter 28, okay. But he set the groundwork for where we are yet going in the future. See, there's an evolutionary process that occurs here. But the key factor is what he does with the Levites and what he does with Moses' brother Aaron helps us to have a visual understanding of the authority of a priest. Okay? Now, it is now, as we're going to read, because now we're going to 1 Peter, chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 5. Well, I'm going to start at 4. Anyway, and I'm going to start at 5 and 4. Now, I understand this is Peter, amen, talking, amen, and it says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by me, and talking about Jesus, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also. That's a very key phrase there. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, and I'm going to skip down to verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, I can't imagine. I mean, you have to understand, I'm an average person. You know, and because I've been taught not to speak low, I would want to say almost below average, okay? But you know, when you're a saint of God, and see, you know, let me make that clear. Saint, now the our brethren in the Catholic Church had a version of saint. You know, people had they understand it, but a saint is just a person that accepted Christ as Savior and committed to live for him. Okay. And then that's what they call it, a work in the process, a project at work. This here, by not teaching this, emphasizing this, has really put the body of Christ in a bad position. And I say that because right now, the answer to the world's problem is the body of Christ. It is not. God will use a variety of means to get things done. He chooses that. Jesus spoke to one man and healed his eyes, and then another time he made some spittle and clay and put it on the man's face, told him to go wash and healed his eyes. So God ain't going to do everything the same way. But the one thing is for sure. He's going to use his own vessels. The point in all this is, if you go back, when we go back to Exodus and read, He noted, he identified a nation of priests. A nation is a nationality, an ethnic, a group, period. See, and they're not based on the color of your skin. You know, I mean, but I'm going to go on past that. That's for weak-minded folk. I'm just leaving that there. I pray for you. Lay hands on you because you need deliverance. All right. So you, the bottom line is God won't do anything in the earth unless we ask. That's a tremendous responsibility. That's a tremendous amount of power. And right now, more than ever, see, I belong to a praying church. I mean, we've had 8-hour sessions of prayer, 4-hour sessions of prayer, 2-hour sessions of prayer. Prayer, just pastor, this right now, just pray. Pray in the spirit. You know, because his life is of one of, I'll do what you say, Lord, how you say, when you say. See, and this is why we have all these unique things in the Bible. Later on down the line, I'm going to be teaching on, again, on praying in the spirit. But you need to understand what that takes. It takes, and I'm going to use a phrase that I heard that just, I mean, that thing rang like a giant bell in me when I heard it. I'm like, that, because, you know, if you've been listening, if you've been watching my other videos, you'll see me use the word and harp on the issue of being submissive, being submissive, being submission. Submission is you have a mission, you have power and authority, but you make a decision, conscious decision to put that away and do what God say do, how he say do. And that covers a lot of territory. One day I hope to do just, maybe I'll do a Saturday session, you know, and put up a video on what submission is about. But that this is an excellent, excellent, excellent statement. It's not submission unless you disagree with it. But you do it anyhow because God say do it. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes God will say some things. I one of the issues that I have seen since I've been in the church, in churches, I've seen battles over speaking in tongues in churches where the basic doctrine is speaking in tongues. And you've got people saying, I don't believe that no more. Wait a minute. Who you get that from? See, I've learned something. I like a comfortable life. The security I like about my life is that if I'm making my earnest effort to just do what God say, how he say, when he say, where he say, Satan can't get me. COVID can't get me. Corona can't get me. Cancer can't get me. Somewhere, I'm you know, I'm going to make some statements. I pray for people that got something negative to say or don't believe it. I don't, you know, because revelation comes from God. I'm giving you information. And if you pray God to give you, you'll get an illumination. An illumination to get you a revelation. But you're not going to get the revelation from me. The revelation is going to come by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a lot of saints that's in heaven right now that shouldn't be. We need them here to pray. They can't pray for us over there. But somewhere, Satan found the door open, got in, hung on long enough to kill him. That's what happened. The astonishing thing that caught my attention in the March, from March to May, was some what we would say are Holy Ghost filled. That's one of my areas I challenged. Filled to me. This is my definition of being filled. You know, one, if you're being filled, you can be unfilled. Remember that. You ain't full all the time. You'll know. Somebody cut you off in traffic and you don't say, Lord bless them. You say something else. You know, at that moment, you ain't full. Man, it don't take nothing but pray. And it's amazing. All it takes is, Lord, forgive me and praise him and he'll fill you back up. But anyway. About 50 total pastors died from COVID. Now, that was shocking. Particularly the one from the Church of God in Christ. Okay, and I want to go back to that issue when I said y'all sanctified folk. When I said that earlier, I wasn't specifying a specific denomination. That's because I found in every denomination there are sanctified people, more in some churches than in others, but I found them. Matter of fact, there's this Catholic nun. If you saw her, she would look like a Catholic nun. But if it's just you and her talking, you would know she's not your typical Catholic nun, because she has not only read the Bible, she don't pray to Mary. She pray to God. And she pray in tongues. She have a full understanding. And she said God has her there to serve, and I believe that, to help with the program, to help. And I've seen the impact of that. Because all you're seeing a church. See, God is doing something. When you see, this is the power of prayer. This is why it's necessary for us to do this battle. In a situation like that, we're helping her. God then can, we pray for her, then she can minister to some of her, as God give her opportunity to other members up there that get that revelation, get them to go to God to get the revelation. When more get the more people that are praying there, then they can pray for the leadership to get the revelation. Let me tell you what the end result of that will be. There is one in some areas in the United States and now in South America where whole Catholic congregations are growing forth into the Word, reading the Word. Now, it's something I remember back when that started. You know, that's why I pray for the Pope, but I haven't heard nothing from this Pope. I take a lot of prayer for him, okay? I ain't going to get into why right now. But I'm a matter of fact, I'm going to just say that. John Paul, he gone, late John Paul, Pope John Paul. He actually tried to put a curse on a priest that broke away from him and started teaching from the Bible. You know that he was only teaching. He still just teaching. I don't know if he's still alive now. That's been a while. But it's still going on and it's growing. See, we're having impact. See, even though you are here in America, you know, the man of God said that people like to know that people in America are praying for them. They view this as a Christian nation. Y'all need to act like it. Some of y'all that ain't. Because that means they really believe we have authority with God. And now they're learning. India's growing. Amen. And it's war. Pray for the persecuted saints. See, we are needed dramatically more than anything. God can't do nothing unless we say something. That's how this is set up. He need us to pray so he can answer. He set that up. Why? So that we can learn to see things like Jesus see things. We see out of the eye of love. This is loving your neighbor. It takes love to utilize the energy to pray for people you know, to pray for people you don't know. Pray for people you don't want to pray for. It takes love and energy because you got to – there's some people, I ain't going to name no names, you could probably guess, in high places, that I had to grab myself and bring my spirit, amen, into unison with the Holy Spirit and then pray for them. Because, because my man, Now, let me explain that why. Matter of fact, let me go back to one of the earlier priesthood commands that God gave in Leviticus chapter 4. Okay? See, well, when you go back, okay, I'm going to just follow this. Amen. This is, and the Lord, this is Leviticus chapter 4. Oh, this is Leviticus chapter 1. They all start the same way. Okay. Now, understand. Now, in your later on today or afterwards, I want you to read this whole chapter and visualize what was going on. And then go read 1 John 1, 8, and 9 and do the comparison. That's really one of the major differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Leviticus chapter 4, This was how they had to deal with sin. And one of your clearest signs of the last days, which we all know, there's going to be the resurrection of a third Solomon's temple that they built for God. Going to be, okay? Going to be, because they're already training Levitical priests. They had to go through, they have a record of the family, because only Levitical priests can handle the ark. They're going to probably remake the ark. They ain't got to go find it. But they're going to go back to this. This is a promise, because the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple. But that's another whole issue. There's a lot of teaching on that. But this is what I'm talking about. I had to bring my mind right, okay? And the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, when anyone sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden, say they get cut off in traffic, and don't say praise the Lord. When anyone sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the commands of the Lord, the anointed priest sins. Anointed, when you think anointed, think endowed with the power of God to the fullness, okay? Amen. The anointed priest sins, bring guilt on the people. He must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering. In our case, we just say, Lord, forgive me, and then set our minds right and go ahead and pray for the person. I hope you're getting this. I'm talking about how powerful you are as a priest of God. Now, you don't need no collar to walk around in. You don't need no special garb. They had that back then because it was a new concept. Just as the kingdom of God was a new concept. Until the Romans showed up, they didn't really understand how the kingdom of God operated, because it operated more like the Romans than it did like any other nation. Okay? If God's kingdom operated like Nebuchadnezzar did, God would just, we would get saved and die. He'd take us on home with him. But under the Romans would come and set a force in your territory and run it from there. And if you didn't, as long as you obeyed, you was good. But if you didn't, then they'd send a bigger force to put you back in order. Okay, and that's on that. Now, so what we're talking about here today as the priesthood, start out. This is where you want to start out, okay? See, we got people, and I understand this. Now we're going to Timothy. Now we're going to get to the home front. Where to start praying at, okay? First, your first prayer. Now, when I start out praying, okay, this is how I was taught. Now, like I said, you can go to God and see if you don't agree with it. But see, and I understand that. Now, I operate under the assumption, and I'm good with it, because it I know it pleases God. See, I have an understanding of Israel and the Israel of God and what all this is going to. I don't have a complete total understanding like God does. But I understand enough to know that this is right and it's doing. Did you know that the nation of Israel sits in the center of the world? You know, it's really ironic. They even have a spot marked out over there. And if you want to go to Israel, Word of Faith is going to Israel next year, 2021. But anyway, you can go to the Word of Faith website and sign up for that. It costs about $3,500. Believe God, and you can get it done if you want to go. Amen. Presently, anyway, you know, and see, we're the ones have to be involved with the prayer over this COVID thing, because it's demonic. It ain't no question about that. Okay, we can bring it, because see, it's already mutating. Okay, so the vaccine, if the vaccine ain't capable of handling the mutation, you're still gonna have the same problem, and then. We're in the end of days. But one thing about it, nothing supersedes the word. Nothing supersedes the power of God. Okay. Let me check here. I heard a warning notice. Make sure stuff's still going. Yep. You know, I have to it's technology. It's something when you're not born with this stuff. I admire some of y'all young people. These are things we used to dream of. I start my prayer here, and this is Psalm 123. You can write this down. Start out your prayer. I start out, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. You know, and that speaks for itself. The key here is simply following the will of God. Peace of Jerusalem. You start out. If you, those that's watching the video, you can see back here on this map, I got a red pen that marks out Jerusalem. Then I pray for the saints. Right now, behind that, I pray then for the persecuted saints all over that area, Africa, Asia, China, Japan, I imagine. You know, pretty much anywhere, probably now in parts of America, you know. We pray what you pray, same thing that I was talking about praying. First, when you pray for the saints, you want them to have the intelligence of God, because a lot of them are new to Christ. By us frequently praying for them to have a spirit of wisdom, to understand how the Word of God works, and how it's applied in their lives, and how to see their life growing in the way that God wants them, particularly in the area of walking in love, and what that means, and even in the area of knowing that they have a right to defend themselves. You know, Christianity, if they hadn't had early battles, it wouldn't exist as it is today. Well, it might be. But there was a battle, and it was physical. I mean, it was bloody to bring it to where it is, to preserve the unadulterated gospel. They wanted to give us an adulterated version. You know, like I say, you still, the Roman Catholic Church that you see now over there in Rome is the same people that was starting a battle, trying to control it since around 200 A.D., going all the way back. This is why you get people think that everybody that's a Christian is under their guise. No, we're not. We're what they call Protestants. Okay. But in any case, what God is looking at is how we respond to the issue in every situation. He's given us power. He's given us power. We have access to his power. We have access to his throne. You got to know how powerful that is. If you read, when you go back and you read in the book of Exodus, that started, and particularly in Exodus 28, and you look at all the details that go on, and how that only Aaron had to have a robe that was specifically designed, and in the bottom of the robe he had to have bells on it, so that when he would go into the holy place, when he'd go before God, if he wasn't right, if they didn't hit him bells, they knew he was dead, so he had to walk around. That's why, so walking around while you're praying ain't a bad thing. You know, you don't have to be down on your knees, you know, getting calluses and all that. When I do get on my knees, I have a 3-inch thick pad. You know, Jesus died on the cross. There ain't no need for my knees to hurt. You know, and sometimes you just feel led to be on your knees before God, particularly when you're thanking him for doing something you know he didn't have to do. And sometimes the fact that you know that you hear will make you get down there. And if you don't have a pad, I mean, you don't. But sometimes you just, you know, I know some of y'all know what I'm talking about. When you just have your own little private praise fest while you driving, folk looking at they over there, lost their mind. Yeah, I lost my mind. I got the mind of Christ. I lost my mind. You lose your mind too. I'm telling you, he do some things that's just spectacular. Things you especially want unexpected, or things you asked for years ago, and then they get done now. Okay, so you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm giving you a quick rundown, and like I said, I don't know if God gonna have me come back and touch on this some more. But if you're taking notes, it's going to be on video. You know, we live in a great age. You know, I did come in the electronic era when they were able to record stuff. I still had cassette tapes. Anyway, Now, here Paul talking to Timothy. Now, remember, he's giving instructions here about prayer. Now, think about what he is saying here. See, because, see, we live in, quote, a democracy. Yeah, okay. Democracy. And people vote. But listen, I'm going to tell you now, your prayer count more than your vote. Because even after you vote, you still going to have to pray for the person. This is what Paul is saying. The election is over, okay? And he said, now I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and in our case, presidents, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Okay. Now, there's a lot of teaching on this, on what supplication. It's the intensity. But the intensity is how you express yourself. And the one thing please, saints, now please hear me, and don't get offended by it. Do not beg God. You hear me? Do not beg God. Do not please, Lord, will you? Don't do that. You don't have to, okay? Because you need to pray with revelation that He is God. And if you praying and you make a request, okay, because in other parts, Paul talks about making your petitions known, okay? When you address an authority with a petition, there's the groundwork. Do you have the authority to do it? See, this is another reason why I'm saying this and why others are teaching this. It's because a lot of people think because they're a good person that they can pray and God will hear them. And, man, this time is getting by. Woo! It's getting on down the road. I'm just barely touching on this, but amen, anyhow. Anyway, Paul here is the only people who can do this is the body of Christ. When they talk about Christ was the head, when if he's the head, we're the body. So it's a connection there. When we're praying, that's the authority of Christ. Okay? See, we have to make, we do the work. We the footmen. We do the work. We the priesthood. We the ones that take it to the throne. Okay, we don't want to make the supplication. We don't want to put the emphasis on it to God what needs to be said. And we do that with His word because we have the authority. Okay, then the prayers, now know what it's saying. You see this it has S on it. Okay, one of the major lessons I learned about prayer, when you're praying for yourself to receive something, you pray it, you believe you receive it, then you do not say opposite of what you prayed for, and you speak it. Now, this is the area, again, I won't have time to get into deeper, commanding angelic involvement and getting involved with it. But let's look at this is how I deduce that. One of the things that I deduce, and I didn't just come up with this on my own, when it comes to commanding angels. We know it fails. I mean, let's face it, we've had some tragic circumstances and people wonder, where were the angels of God? Well, if the angels of God didn't do anything, either the person that expected angelic support didn't qualify for angelic support, wasn't in the body of Christ, or they're in the body of Christ and don't have an orderly life, or in that specific case, the angels have to be told what to do. And if not told, they don't do nothing. And, you know, and I found success after having my life threatened by a serious person of threat. You know, a major drug dealer threatening my life, threatening my family. I mean, this was back in the 80s. And I told him he had to get by God, get by his angels, and then I don't see him. And the reason nothing happened, my son, my youngest son, was threatened. I corrected that issue, okay? But the reason nothing has ever happened is because I simply say, Lord, I command angels and camp around about my household, around my family, around my city, around my block. God, I got plenty of angels. Angels don't get tired. They ain't got nothing else to do. This is what it said. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamp around those who reverence him, who fear him. Not shiver and shake, but fear him. So we know what don't work. I'm not going to say something, but it's what you got to lose. You got the word. Can't nobody call you on the word. And it's up to God. But again, you got to go back through them rules. Because them angels know them rules. They know the order of things. And they're going to do what's in order. See, and again, it's because God fully recognized how much power you have and how much more access to that power we're going to have in the millennial reign of Christ. See, this part of life is training us for the next phase. Notice we get 1,000 years on this planet. But the difference will be my fleshly limitations will practically be gone 99.9%. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'll be incorruptible. That means I won't, sickness won't ever be able to affect me again. But all, there are also other things that I won't be doing, like right now, you know, and I know this is something I want you, some of you saints that are feeling sad about your love, loss, your recently or your past, your family that have passed on, your children that have passed on, and I know that that hurts around Christmas time, but they ain't sad. So why should you be? I mean, I know what it feels. My mother and father's gone. I mean, it's friends I've gone. I mean, I've lost 50 friends this year, and my closest friend is gone, and that hurt. Do you know what they do? If I imagine they keep the Sabbath day up there. So on the Sabbath day, I know for sure, they get to go wherever they want. If we were to stay here, we'd be 10,000 years before we could go to Alpha Centauri, which is like what they say, like 250 million light years away. Okay? We can't go. We can't take us 16 years to get to Jupiter. They get to go visit every place that's in the universe. They get to enjoy life, and they got a presence. They experience a joy we've never had on earth. So don't be sad over them. Don't be sad. Be happy. Be happy because look at what's going on in the world. We are getting that close to the end of sin. Not the end of the world. Read your Bible. Read Book of Revelation, chapter 19 and 20 and 21. It's not the end of the world. End of this planet does not get destroyed to the end of the 1,000-year reign. So every place you haven't visited, now if you make it in, and you'd be crazy not to, you get to visit. Free airfare. Free everywhere. Free everything. Free food. You can eat food and not even get fat. You can eat what you want, not get fat. That's the beauty of incorruptibility. So with that, I'm going to break off right here. We're going to pick up on this next week at 1 Timothy chapter 2. And in the meantime, do this. Pray what you know, because your prayer count. The more of us praying, the more success we will have. Now, perhaps you, the this is your first time hearing this, and this is the first time you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you may have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, but you fell to the wayside because you did not understand, and certainly Satan came after you. That's what he do. That's the adversary. Just simply pray this prayer and believe God. You know, they call it the ABCs of God. You know, acknowledge that you're a sinner, believe God that Jesus rose from the dead, and confess him as your Lord and Savior. It's that really that simple. So it's like, Father God, I believe Jesus is your son. I believe he died on the cross at Calvary tree, bearing my sins for me. I believe he rose from the dead and is alive right now. And I, Father, I ask, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. Amen. Father, I ask for forgiveness for any sin I may have committed. That's for those of you that have backslidden. And I believe in my heart that I am restored and that I am saved right now in Jesus' name. And it always just amazed me how short that prayer is, how powerful that prayer is. Because, again, like I say, it eliminates an entire past. Even if you fell by the wayside, a lot of us have been there. You know, life is this is not a simple life. But God forgives, and he casts it to the east from the west. Now, we may have to deal with the cause and effect of something that we did, you know. But he'll fix that up, clean that up. So above all, the one thing I know about this life is that if you don't quit, God won't quit. If you don't quit, God won't quit. And remember this, prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. And see you next week. Amen.
Peace.com.
I'm going hard for my God like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, sipping by to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus is. Cause I'm about to grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like DJ Khaled, have your way however you choose to. Just that you will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with
him. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can go no longer go, living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably see me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably see me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because the saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more. I tell you, I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you, it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan, but I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said, come as you are. He love me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart. And since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me. Make me change my mind. Too many youth has left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that posed the teachers are that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing. Growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving. My blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving. I'm living for his purpose. Giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you live it wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living the sin field life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.